everyone. This is Brayden and Tally Waller with the voice of my beloved podcast. Today, we got all kinds of fun things to talk about today. We're going to start out by talking a little bit about what we've been up to. We've got all kinds of things that we've been looking at, all kinds of things up our sleeves, right? Mm-hmm. we have been doing some planning for Sukkot, which that seems really far away, but we've realized it's actually not that far away.
Coming up here soon.
Yeah, it's coming up. We've got, what, 3 months? Is it 3 months?
Yeah. And this is kind of crazy for me because this is the first Sukkot I've done in America in 14 years.
Yeah,
I've been in Israel every other Sukkot up till then. So this is going to be pretty far out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've really never celebrated Sukkot outside of Israel as well, because we didn't really start doing Sukkot until we got married.
Yeah.
So Brayden and I are going to be paving a new path here. Sukkot in America, Sukkot in a foreign land. It's sad. It's there's a sadness to it. However, what's the biggest command of Sukkot?
Vehaita ach sameach. You shall only rejoice.
Yes, so, exactly.
So
we're not gonna let that put a damper on our rejoicing.
Yes, we're gonna look forward to the hopes of one day being in Jerusalem
for
the feast, as the prophet Zechariah foretold. All nations are gonna come up.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't, you don't get rain.
Right, right. And you know, I keep thinking all these nations, you know, it talks about all the nations coming up to the feast for Sukkot. Well, there had to be some preparation time for that, like getting the nations on board with the whole thing, right? Like, hey guys, this is what Sukkot's about.
Right.
Let's learn it. So that's what we figure our new mission is to get the nations excited about Sukkot and get excited about one day ascending to Jerusalem altogether.
Yes. So we're calling it Sukkot of Ascent.
Yes.
So this is going to be different levels. You know, for one, just like we're talking about, the one day going up, ascending to Jerusalem, like the Psalms of Ascent. You know, we've done that CD project, Psalms of Ascent. So Sukkot of Ascent in hopes of that day, but also of ascending in our relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we want to go to a new place with Him. We want to spend time seeking Him as a group and really pressing into what it means to know Him.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time. We're going to do some rejoicing, dancing. We're going to have some time of worship and teaching and talking about what it means to go up and be in His presence, to be with Him.
Yes. Yeah. So we're super excited about it. We're also a little bit nervous because we've never thrown a shindig like this before, just Brayden and I. But we have helpers.
Yes. A lot of people are joining in to help. So we're thankful for that.
That are going to help us, which you all will be very thankful for. Uh-huh. So anyways, we wanted to invite you all. If you are not on our email list, then go to loveandpurity.com and sign up for the email list, and you will get all kinds of announcements like this little Sukkot gathering that we're planning. And we would love to see you all out there. The more the merrier, as far as we're concerned. We would love to see you all. So that's Sukkot. And now we're going to kind of dive into our next segment. We've been talking about an encouragement to what single life should look like. It's kind of what we've been focusing on. We've been talking about, the importance of honoring your parents as a single person, honoring elders, honoring authority and accountability in your life as a single person. So important. And disconnecting from bad influences, media, all the yuck stuff in the culture out there, and getting connected, though, disconnecting from that, but connecting to God, because you can't disconnect from something, just live in la la land. We got to get a connection going with God. And so, this is a big part of our testimony, as we walk out singlehood, the single life. And so today, Brayden's actually going to be sharing about his testimony as a single person and kind of the path that God brought him on to get to the place where he was. And then I'm sure I'll be sharing my story at some point too. We'll be hitting on a couple other things. But today we're going to be focusing on his testimony and just that importance of cultivating a relationship with God. And, you know, and that's going to look, everyone has a different testimony. And it's so important for us to share our testimonies. And so, yeah, so Brayden's going to get started here.
Yes. So we're all familiar with the passage in Revelation that talks about overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so two big things we've got to understand if we're going to overcome: the power of the blood of the Lamb and the power of God working in our lives, the power of our testimony. And so I just want to be an encouragement to all those listening today that there's victory in Him. And as we receive the power of His blood, the forgiveness, you know, getting forgiven and just getting that clean slate, wow, you're setting yourself up for having a mighty testimony of walking with God, of doing His will in your life. So I'm just going to touch on some things that God did for me early in my life. I was around 6-7 years old. I started having some major health issues. I had my appendix taken out as a young child. I had this surgery, and it was pretty traumatic for me. Up to that time, I was a pretty bubbly personality, but this thing really sobered me. I you know, to be faced with something like that early in life, I think just challenges you to go, okay, you know, maybe this life is not as stable as I thought it was, you know, because a lot of times as young people, you just contend to think you're invincible or whatever. You don't start thinking about, you know, leaving this world until you get up, you know, older, right? Because you just feel like you're invincible when you're young. But so as a young child, I just, you know, was going through this and I was really sober. Mom was really concerned about me because I just actually stopped talking. And normally I was just really bubbly and talking a lot. So I just stopped talking, and I can remember laying in that hospital bed. And at one point I said, Mom, somebody touched me. And she said, well, nobody's around you, Brayden. Nobody could have touched you. And so, but I was confident that something had touched me. And so Mom said, well, maybe an angel touched you. And so that was my first realization that, wow, God could touch me. An angel could touch me, even in this place of feeling very down and depressed.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. And so a little while later, I ended up having my tonsils taken out. You know, these things are not major crisis things, but they were still very, you know, very much a part of my testimony, just in working through these things of coming to getting to the other side in a place of trusting in God. And so I went through that, and through these things, I began to realize a issue with fear that I had. You know, because these type of things can give birth to fear when you go through trauma. And so, but the verse I love is in Psalms. It says, I sought the Lord, He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I just love that verse. It's not like there's just a few fears left over that I just don't know, you know, but He delivered me from all my fears. And so those early trials that I went through really set me up to say, God, I need you. I need you in my life. And so I began to seek the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from my fears. And this was a journey. It's certainly a journey. It wasn't an overnight thing, but, and I'm talking about like even through my teenage years, you know, I had some irrational fears that really plagued me. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thankful that God is true to His word. I love what a pastor said. I was listening to him preach. He said, no one ever sought God and didn't find Him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's a very bold statement. And I just want to encourage any of you out there that may be struggling through fear, seek God, and He will deliver you from your fears.
Yeah.
You know, there's power in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds really easy coming, you know, when you put it in a nutshell like that, but this was a really big, a big part of your journey, right? I mean, this didn't happen just overnight, right? You had this was a real, something you had to really press into.
Yeah. Yeah. It was over years that I really, but it was through these, you know, a lot of times our struggles lead us to seeking God more, mm-hmm. you know,
and a greater place of victory.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have a testimony. I have a testimony now. You know, I was plagued by fear. I mean, heart pounding fear, but yet God delivered me from that.
It makes Satan really scared to mess with you, because it's like, you know, I might've just sat back here okay with things, but then when you attacked me, I took more ground.
Right.
And that's like, right. I think that's, you know, God's heart, is, you know, just not sitting back when the enemy's playing with you and able to, you know, really take you down. So being able to stand in victory through Yeshua and say, I'm gonna fight here until I get the victory. I'm gonna take this ground.
Right.
So I know that there's a lot of places in my life that I'm still working on, you know, still battling to take the ground in those areas.
Right.
But praise God, he gives us those victories that we have to testify about so that we can keep holding on to that as we keep continuing fighting through some of the other struggles that we're facing in our our lives.
Yeah, so coming along now at teenage years, as our 15, 16, I noticed this verse. This verse just stood out to me in Joel. It said, your young men will see visions. And I knew that Peter had brought up this verse in the book of Acts. And so I thought, okay, well, this is the season that because it's Peter saying, you know, Joel is happening now. So what's happening then 2,000 years ago in Peter's time was it certainly must be still in effect now for young men to see visions. So I began to just cling to this. God, I'm a young man. I want to see these visions that Joel talks about. So I began to pray, God, please let me see these. And well, you know what happened? Ended up seeing a vision. I was out praying. There was a conference coming up, and there was a group of people that were committing to pray 15 minutes a day for this conference that was coming up. And so I was just out fulfilling my duty, 15 minutes for this conference coming. And while I was praying, I was outside. This is on the farm. We lived in Tennessee. I began to pray, and all of a sudden, I looked up. This is out in the little wooded area. I looked up, and on this tree, I had my eyes open, and I saw Yeshua on a tree. Arms outstretched, he was hanging on a cross on this tree. And he looked down at me and just said, really simply, he said, Braden, I love you. And wow, that, it was real. It was so real. And I just began to weep. It just touched something in the core of my being that just broke. It broke me just to realize that, wow, you know, the struggles I had, all this fear that I had, but yet, he still loved me and he gave his life. You know, John says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And wow, I felt his love so powerfully. And it began to set me free. You know, perfect love cast out fear. Mm-hmm. When you experience that love, you're free. You get free from fear. Now, still a walkout process for me from that point, but wow, that was a big step. So I ended up coming back out to the same place the next night. I thought, well, you know, if I had a vision here, one night, maybe it'll happen again. And it did happen again. So it only happened twice. So I come back out the next time. And this time it was a little different. He was hanging on the cross again. But this time a scroll came out of his side, like a Torah scroll, a Bible scroll. It came out of both of his sides and began to encircle me. And so what it spoke to me was is that there was protection within the boundaries of his word. And so I really clung to that throughout my teenage years that, God, I want to be found, you know, in your love, yes, but also within the protection of your word. I want to stay within the boundaries of your word. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to disobey you and be found outside of your word, outside of your love. And so, you know, these are two pretty simple visions, but very profoundly impacting in my life. Mm-hmm. So, and we know in the scripture, it says that without vision, we perish. And so I just want to encourage any young men, and I believe young women out there that are looking for vision, this is so key. You want to ask God to give you those Joel 2 visions, that he will speak to you and give you vision. Because if you don't have that, your soul is going to wither up. Mm-hmm. Your soul is going to shrivel up, and you're not going to thrive. But God wants you to thrive in him. He wants you to really excel in your relationship with him. And then that is going to prepare you for a flourishing marriage. Mm-hmm. So it's so important. Have clear vision. So around this time, I was around probably 17 years old, a crisis happened in our community where this young lady ran away from home and didn't know where she was for days. And so we began to have these emergency prayer meetings. And this was my first real taste of corporate prayer and the power that it can have. And these people were very intense in their prayers because their daughter was gone, been gone for days, didn't know where she was. She, you know, had a loving family. And so they really cared about her. And so they were just crying out. There was a crying out to God, you know, groups of people, and it was just going for days and weeks of just having these regular prayer meetings. And one of these prayer meetings, something was said that really profoundly impacted me. This man, this older man, but kind of a revivalist type personality, but he said, God, reveal the secret sins. He just began to cry that out. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty bold prayer. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe there's areas in my life that I don't want really anybody else to know about. You know, maybe my thoughts or something like this. And I began to really internalize this. God, is this thing more than just about me having a good image on the outside?
Is that the kind of prayer meeting you want to go to?
Yeah.
God, reveal the secrets and get me out of here.
Yeah, but
that is something. I mean, we all should have that in us, you know. It's something that it's uncomfortable though.
Right. But the Holy Spirit does that though. He puts his finger on secret sins, and it's the things that nobody else sees. And God really began to put his finger in my heart. It really began to put, you know, that conviction in my heart to say, you need to be the same on the outside as you are on the inside. If people look at you as being a righteous, honest man, man of integrity on the outside, you need to be the exact same on the inside. And so this is a battle. This is a battle, you know, to keep our thoughts. And this is an ongoing battle, you know, something that we have to be intentional about watching our meditations. And I still fight this battle today. And I think, you know, if you're alive today, you've got to fight this battle of keeping your thoughts pure. And so, but God really began to challenge me with a vision for that of getting my mind clean and my actions clean before him. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for, you know, those sometimes difficult things that happen in our lives. God uses that for a good thing. He begins to break up the fallow ground. You know, the scripture talks about breaking up our fallow ground, sowing to ourselves, sowing to, says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. So this is what we want to do. And we need God to come in and break that up for us. And so we can get just that all that crustiness can just be washed away, and we can get the living word of God just washing over our hearts. So around a year later or so, I just, you know, was kept pressing in. I said, God, I want to be pure. And firstly, as the Sermon on the Mount says, I want to be pure because I want to see you. You know, this is not just a practice in just self-denial just for the sake of, you know, just for the sake of it. It's because it has an end result. God, I want to see you. I want to be like David. He said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, and that I may behold your beauty, right? So he's one thing that gripped his heart. And so I was asking God, please grip my heart with this. I want a pure heart for that reason, because I want to see you. And so I just encourage you, if you're out there listening, just to ask God that he would give you that same heart that David had, that you might see him. And when you have that vision really strong, then seeking purity becomes natural. You're like, okay, it's the goal is so worth it. The goal is so rewarding that yes, I will pursue a pure life, because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so you have to, in seeking righteousness and seeking a pure life, you have to have that strong reward that that motivates you. And seeing God, beholding his glory and his beauty, there's no greater reward in all the world. And so that's what we want to seek. And so I was pressing into this and really going through an intense season in my life of really pressing into this. And the desire for purity was growing. And really that desire for pure thoughts, for a pure life, really caused me to press into God and to really seek his face. And during this time, we had a all-night prayer meeting actually over the Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot. And over this time, we had different people coming in on an hourly clock, just going through the night. We're having a 24/7 prayer time. And so me and this other friend of mine were up praying, and it was just kind of a quiet prayer time. And we were just waiting on God. But then one of us prayed, God, we want to experience more of your fire. And it was kind of a funny story, because there was a group of people in this house that we're praying in. They were sleeping upstairs. Well, it was like a fire, like a stick of dynamite went off when we prayed that. It was so unmistakable. You know, in Yeshua, John the Baptist said, the one who's coming after me, he will baptize you in fire. And we said, we were praying this, God, we want more of your fire. We were, you know, asking for this baptism of fire. Bam! The Spirit of God in fire intensity hit that room, and we begin to cry out, and we end up waking up these people that were like in this floor above us who were sleeping through the night. And they're like, the next morning, like, what happened down there? So it's just kind of a funny thing, but man, unmistakable. You know, some things in spiritual, you know, things that happen in your life, you look back and you go, I did not make that up. You know, that was a unmistakable encounter with the Spirit of the living God. And when that happens, you know, you really need to just drink it in, because, you know, you go through seasons of life and you're not always on that high mountain, but man, that was quite the experience. Well, then my brother Zach ended up coming in, and they ended up experiencing the same intense, fiery thing. And I just want to encourage you, that is available to us. Yeshua is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so if you want to experience the fiery love of God, the fiery presence of God, press into it. Seek him. Like I said before, there's never been anyone who sought God and did not find him. Be encouraged. It is available to you as you seek him. Mm-hmm. So, and just back on the theme of fighting for purity, I just want to encourage you, if you have brothers, and this could be spiritual brothers or physical brothers, man, I just think the devil hates it when brothers join together in prayer in the fight for purity. I just can testify that as we begin to pray together, we would just gather together every night and just begin to pray. And we would become vulnerable with one another. We'd become just transparent with one another and confessing the struggles that we'd be going through. And this is the lifestyle that you want to embrace. You do not want to be living a double life of, you know, living one way on the outside, another on the inside. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to have close friends, close brothers in your life. Or if you're a woman out there, a young lady, have those people in your life that you can confess to, and then you can walk in victory. This is so key to walk in the light. This is what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. So during this season of life, mm-hmm. just to the contrast of like, what was your culture like? What did your daily life look like?
You talking about on the farm?
Yeah, like this is, what did life look like teenage years? Were you watching movies, going out to youth group and hanging out with your friends a lot? And
well, mom and dad had made some radical decisions that were pulling us away from that environment. Uh-huh. And I think in some ways that environment and what I've just observed is it can dull the senses. It can dull the spiritual senses and lead to spiritual passivity. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like we mentioned before, our natural inclination is to want to be fascinated. And so if we fill that tank up, you know, it's not the ultimate experience of being what we're created for, to be fascinated by God, but we can fill that tank up to the level that it kind of dulls our taste. You know, we're not longing for the real thing. You know, by just filling it up with the counterfeit.
Right.
And so that's something as parents, you may be listening out there, young people that are listening out there, you don't want to dull that sense that God placed in your heart for him. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just watching movies or playing video games all the time, then you're in some ways dulling that sense to be fascinated with something that's a counterfeit that God actually placed in you to want to seek him, mm-hmm. to be satisfied with his spirit, with the power that comes from him.
Right.
And so, yeah, don't settle for a counterfeit.
Yeah. 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 I just wanted to point out just how different, like, I think people, when you're growing up in this, going through all of this story, there were probably several people that, would have looked at your family story and gone, they are weird.
Right.
Right.
There were those people for sure.
Like just because they, you know, just because of how different their lives looked, the day-to-day life of mm-hmm. what they focused on, the things, how intentional they were about what kind of influences they were allowing in and stuff. And so mm-hmm. I just wanted to, you know, encourage just how much intentionality that takes to really, you know, and it looks weird. It's not like they were, you know, it's not like they were total weirdos or anything. Like at this point, they are selling produce in mm-hmm. in Franklin, Tennessee, talking to all kinds of people on a weekly basis.
Yeah, we weren't totally cut off from society.
Yeah, they're not totally cut off from society. They're not like total freaks, you know, living in some cloistered place. They're meeting Michael Card and they're meeting all kinds of people from Franklin and mm-hmm. Just have all kinds of friendships and stuff that they're developing within the context of the family working together and being together and wanting to be a testimony and a blessing to everyone that they
were. What I've observed too is it's so important to have that key of seeking God with that lifestyle, because I've noticed families, they think, well, we're just going to go off, live off the land, homestead, but not have the peace of seeking God and wanting to develop that relationship with him.
On a heart level.
Yeah, on a heart level.
Like a deep, like we're going to deal with stuff. We're not just going to pretend that everything's fine. We're just going to hide under a rock.
Yeah, and that can just lead to, it can just lead to dull spiritual existence. And I see the children sometimes are not really flourishing spiritually. And so I just want to encourage you to press for the highest goal. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul encourages, says, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God and Messiah Yeshua. So we want to press for, yes, being separate from the world, you know, having being set apart from the world standard, the world, what the world lives for. But we also want to embrace the fascination, the glory of living for Yeshua,
right,
and of experiencing his love and his power. Yeah. It's a real thing. It's so real.
Yeah. And I just want to, you know, just point out too, just that it's not all pretty all the time.
Right.
You know, yeah, like it, Braden's testimony is amazing, but it's not always roses and pretty. It's like, grit your teeth. We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Crying out to God, you right, know, seasons of just really intense spiritual warfare. Yeah. I'm not painting this picture of, oh man, it was just easy. Just,
yeah. Yeah.
Easy as it comes. But no, it was a fight. And so that's where we're in. We're in a fight, but there's a reward. That's what I really encourage you. There's a reward as you fight this fight. Mm-hmm. And the next part I want to get into is something that I struggled through in my, you know, in this pursuit of God. I actually began to fall into something that in much of Christianity, this is a issue. And what's called as dualism, maybe a new word to you, but this was something that was promoted by the early Greek philosophers. Mm-hmm. And they promoted this idea that the spiritual world was good and the physical world was evil. And so a lot of these philosophers, these Greek philosophers, actually influenced early church fathers, like Augustine was one of them and a few others. But they influenced them to have this approach. And so if you ever read any of their writings, anything that they had to say about marriage, which is of the earth, anything they had to say about, you know, eating, anything like this, is going to be kind of with this clouded view of, well, that's of the earth. The more you can separate from that, the holier you are.
Even like beautiful things. Like the Amish kind of have that, you know.
Asceticism.
We're not going to, we're not going to wear pretty dresses. We're not going to, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. And so little did I know, you know, I did not realize it, but I had kind of fallen into this. I did some extreme things as a teenager, extreme fasting, extreme type of deals. And I believe those things are good. You know, we have biblical examples of people doing extreme fasting, extreme things, but it needs to be done in the proper context of God created the world and said it is very good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that the world is evil. These Greek philosophers were wrong. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to embrace this idea. And so this this impressed me with the idea, well, if I'm going to really live for God, then I may just not get married at all. Right. You know, to really give my life to God, I just, you know, say no to marriage. Yikes. Well, that's disagreeing with the word of God, because God created Adam. And what did he say? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so I was confronted with this. I just read this little booklet. I was like, oh my mercy. This is something that I have actually agreed with. This idea that if I can separate from the physical world, that I can be
more holy,
closer to God. And so, you know, God, there is a balance there. You know, we do fast. We do pray. We do seek to connect with God. But the idea, I believe, that what I've come to understand is that God wants us to press in and seek him so that we can bring this physical world to a higher place. We can bring this, you know, marriage is sanctified. It's holy. It's something that elevates humanity. It elevates us. It's not something that's evil and to be looked down upon. Mm-hmm. And so, so God really began to work on me, and then thankfully did, because then he brought Tally into my life. And so, yes. So that's just, you know, a little bit of the things that God has done in my life. And I pray it's an encouragement to you. And so I just want to encourage you, especially young men out there, be found, as 1 John says, those that are the young men, the word of God abides in you. He says, you young men, the word of God abides in you, and you overcome the evil one. I pray that for you, that you will be those that stand in strength, overcoming the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And may the word of God just richly dwell in you. Mm-hmm. So be strong.
Yeah. So we're going to leave off at this point, and we've got next week, I think we'll go into my testimony a little bit. Be encouraged. You have a testimony. Might look different than Braden's. You have your very own specific testimony story that God's doing in your life. So embrace it, talk about it, and delve into that single focus in your single life. Embrace God with all of your heart. Blessings to y'all.